Hello, everyone. This is Clarissa Bell, and I'm delighted to be with you today. And thank you to all of you who are participating in the class today. And today we will be going over the topic of resistance. And then I'll be giving information about the science of the cards and doing readings for people who would like them, given how much time we have after that. So, as usual, I always like to start off with a short prayer just to anchor the energy of us being together. So if you can, if you're able to, if you're driving, please don't close your eyes, but just take in these words. We ask for support and consciousness in assisting us in awakening, in opening our hearts, and inspiring and empowering us to experience the truth about ourselves. We ask for support in feeling our connection with the essence of everyone and everything in the universe at all times so that we can truly know and feel we are one. And so it is. Yes, we are one. And we are endeavoring to remember that. So today the topic is resistance, and I am going to recap some of what we have, some of the other topics that we have discussed in the previous teleclasses as an intro to resistance, because it all begins to weave together. So we established in our topic on polarity that life is polar. Polarity creates an immense spectrum, a gradient, a variety of possibilities and a variety of experiences within one phenomenon. And without polarity, most experiences would not exist at all. For example, we couldn't have hot without cold. Without hot and cold, the two poles, temperature would only be a concept. We would never really be able to experience what hot and cold is. So, for polarity to exist, both poles must exist. It's impossible to have a spectrum without both poles. It's impossible to have one pole or one side without the other. For instance, you wouldn't really be able to know what success is without experiencing failure, and vice versa. You can't have pleasure without pain. And we experience and really know one side of a polarity to the extent that we have experienced the other side. We don't necessarily have to experience the other side for a long time. Maybe just once is enough. And so to refresh and maintain our experience of one side, we must alternate polarities. And this is what we're doing here in this experience of being a human being. We are being what we would say anti-God, or not God, to refresh our experience of being God. And so remember when we talked about essence identities and identities, that being a human being and coming to this human experience, we actually counter-create our original God essence of being all-powerful, all-knowing, so powerful and wise, and lovable, valuing ourselves as lovable. And we have created ourselves in this human experience to be the opposite of that, to be not wise, seemingly not powerful. We can't really not be these things, but we create these identities that have us have this experience of not being wise, not being powerful, not being lovable or loved. And we do that so that we can actually create this spectrum so that then we can actually experience what the opposite is like, so we can gain a real appreciation for a real experience, to experience who we are, to experience the magnificence of who we are. And we have to do it within the backdrop of this spectrum. Okay, so we kind of create our essences. And then a funny thing happens. Okay, so we create ourselves to be, not, like I said, not wise, not powerful. And then we resist what we have created. We resist what we've created ourselves to be. And why do we resist these? I call them negative essence identities. You know, I am not powerful. I am weak. I'm stupid. I'm not worthy. We create those for the purpose I just described. And then we resist them. And why do we resist them? Because we create them to be bad. And what makes them bad? Well, we decide that they're bad. We make them bad. And the reason we do this, or you could know we're doing this, is because there really is no objective good and bad. Bad is in the mind of the beholder. Because what is bad and even what is good varies from person to person, and it's a subjective opinion based on the viewpoint of each person. And you could see this, you know, there, what's bad in one culture is good in another culture. So what one person considers bad in their experience, it could be good. So there's really no standard for good and bad that meets one criteria that's true for all people. So there is no objective good and bad. It's all a creation within our mind. It's our internal creation and our internal opinion about something based on our viewpoint. So we create bad. We create bad around things, taxes, viruses, guns. We create bad around events, accidents, deaths, murder. We create bad about our negative emotions. It's bad to be angry, to be fearful, to be sorrowful, to be depressed. We create bad about our habits. Oh, it's bad to overeat, to smoke, to procrastinate, to be lazy. And we create things about having or not having things. Oh, it's bad not to have money. Some people think it's good to not have money if you're, quote, being pious and being spiritual. So we create bad around a lot of things, but the most important and insidious creation of bad is bad about ourselves. And it's bad about these essence identities that we have created. So we create these essence identities of, I am, say, stupid, so I'm not wise, I'm stupid. And then we label them as bad. I am unable, and it's bad to be unable. Can you feel that? Just think of an identity you have that maybe doesn't feel too good for you. I am stupid, and it's really bad to be stupid. Why? I mean, we've decided it's bad because maybe we think no one will love us if people knew we were stupid. I am inferior, and it is bad to be inferior. So here are these bads. And bad is anything that we think should not be as it is. So thereby, since it shouldn't be as it is, we compute that we must stop the bad. And we use negative energy to do this. So it goes like this. So we react to something bad with our own negative energy. So in our inner world, so as we just went through that experience and I named some identities, say I am stupid and it's really bad to be stupid, can you feel then the energy that gets generated just from that idea that something that we are being or something that we have created ourselves to be, even if it's a temporary creation, that it's bad. You can feel the energy being generated within your being, within your energy field. And so we react to something bad with this energy that's being generated from this belief that we're bad in some way. And in our inner world, we then attack this idea that we're stupid and it's bad to be stupid with frustration, with fear, with anger, with resentment, with hate, or we lament it with grief or sorrow, which turns into depression sometimes. And then these emotions that get generated from all of this, then remember, emotions are energy in motion. So this emotional energy then may motivate us, or it acts like an impulse to some kind of physical action, maybe to stop it or to change or to destroy this bad thing. Hence, really ourselves, it's I'm stupid and it's bad to be stupid, so I want to destroy or stop or just push away this feeling, this idea that I am stupid because it's bad. Okay, and so it's these negative energies, negative meaning that it's not in the sense of that it's going to generate something that actually is going to feel, have us create something that is going to generate something beautiful or positive in our lives. So this negative energy then is used to try to stop or change something. Really, we're really trying to change who we're being. And negative energy used to try to change something is one level of resistance. Okay, so resistance is when we try to change or stop or push away something. The other level of resistance is our negation to experience something. And this can include trying to suppress, avoid, block feelings and to escape from something. Okay, and the reason why we try to stop or change again is because we believe something is bad. So at the root of resistance is our creation of bad. And next week I'm going to go into creation of bad because it's a very important element in all of this, and it really is sort of like the root of why we resist in the first place. And so I think it's important to understand how we create this bad and then how to actually stop creating bad, okay? But for now, I'm really focusing on resistance and really how resistance keeps us stuck in the negative energies. So we want to change or destroy something or run away from something. We want to run away from that which we consider to be bad, okay? And we conclude that these identities that we have created, and a lot of times, you know, we're unconscious that we've created these identities. We think that we actually project them out, but really there are these ways in which we have defined ourselves, and most of them are so projected out we don't even know we're actually thinking these things or have decided these things about ourselves, which is why we're then getting the experience we're getting. So we conclude that these identity essences, the negative ones, are bad. I'm a failure, and it's bad to be a failure. And again, this generates negative emotions within us. And since it's bad to be a failure, then I must change it or stop it. And then I use the negative energy that's generated from all of this, from the negative emotions, to then try to change it, okay? Thus, I'm resisting who I'm being. So this is how resistance gets started. We use the negative energy that gets generated from this sequence of being, because whatever we're being, we feel. I'm a failure, and there's a feeling that comes from this idea that I am a failure. So that's one level of emotion that gets generated. And then on top of that, we layer it's bad to be that way. So then we use that energy that gets generated to then try to change it, and that is resistance. And one of the main things I really want you to see today is that the pain that gets generated from that, it seems as if it's being caused by the bad thing, but it's not being caused by the bad thing. It's really, the cause is really our own negative emotional energy that we generate to try to do something against what we think is bad. So what I want you to see, if you can feel, is to experience that our pain is not caused by the bad, but by the negative emotions we generate against the bad, the negative energy that we use to try to stop the bad. And so I want you to see that negative energy right there that we use is painful in and of itself. And that's being generated completely within our experience, within our energy field, through our decisions and our ideas about ourselves and what we think is bad. It's being generated within. It's not from outside of us. So I really want to really stress that point. But let's go even further. Okay. So creation is a process of energizing things. All energizing, whatever we give energy to, actually becomes bigger. So all energy gives more energy to that thing that we're energizing. So if we use negative energy to try to create something, what we get is more negative energy or more negative creations or more negative experiences. Because that's the law. Whatever we energize is going to become more of that energy. So if we use negative energy to try to create something, what we're going to get is more negative energy. So when we resist, we are really using the negative energy to try to change something. And it becomes like a loop. It's like using negative energy to try to accomplish something. But remember, whatever we energize creates more of what's being energized. Thus, when we resist, what we create is more negative experiences, which we then judge again as bad, which we then try to change with more negative energy, which then begets more negativity, which we resist again, and it just becomes this spiral of negative energy thrown against negative energy until we really just created a whole mass of negative energy and experiences. Okay? And you can really feel like in yourself, like when there's something that's really up for you or you're really triggered in something, if you feel this heat and this kind of friction, that's a sure sign that that's resistance. And it's resistance on top of resistance, which is negative energy trying to change something, which only begets more energy. So we could say, hence, I'm sure a lot of you have heard the saying, resistance causes persistence. So this is why resistance causes persistence. It's just more negative energy trying to change something which creates more negative energy because that's the nature of creation. And you could say the same thing with a positive. If you're positively energizing something, it will create more of that positive energy and it'll create more positive creation. So it doesn't matter whether the energizing is positive or negative, it's going to create more of it. So any kind of resistance creates more of what we're really trying to resist. And since we're using negative energy to try to change it, it's going to create more negative energy. Thus, resistance causes persistence. And this is how we actually stay stuck in these negative experiences. And, you know, the result, and when we've been in these kind of spirals of negative energy, it just creates a lot of suffering. So you could say that the result of all of this resistance is suffering. Thus, resistance causes suffering. So we can see from all of this that we can't really change things by resisting them. We cannot create positives in our lives by resisting the negatives because our resistance only prolongs the negative and makes them even stronger. So we cannot resist. We cannot create what we want by resisting what we already have. So going back to our negative identity realities, then, we have to kind of sense basically the resistance begins from this creation of bad, then this creation of bad is really like the root, as I said before. So that's where we have to begin to stop, is to look at this creation of bad and begin to see what's really true and how to really begin to be with these negative identity realities so that we can begin to transform them. But we can't use resistance. And so next week, as I said, we're going to look at this creation of bad. So but I can say for now is that our negative identity, these essence, they're not bad. They're simply anti-essence identity that we created sometime, you know, when we were really young, sometime in the past. It doesn't even matter when or what. But what has to happen is they must be experienced. We must experience the negative aspects of these identities in order to remember to experience our positive nature. But we only have to do it once. We don't have to keep living in these negative identities as most people do. And really most people live in them because of the resistance, and it's like being stuck like Velcro. But by the laws of polarity, negatives must exist for positives to exist. And so we must experience the negative to be able to know and really, really enjoy the positive. I mean, to really, really just soak it up. And there's nothing like, you know, I even like to use this thing as if you've love chocolate cake like I love chocolate cake. If I haven't had a piece of chocolate cake in a long time, and then I have it, and I just so appreciate having that cake. I mean, the taste of it and the icing against my tongue and my taste buds. It's like when you experience the opposite or the lack of something, and when you do have it, you really do experience it. And it's that appreciation and that being able to really experience the magnificence of that wonderful thing that is really why, in my opinion, we've created this reality with this world of duality, this world of polarity, with this incredible spectrum of experiences. And so just to reiterate, we really can't have an experience of being wise and powerful and successful and lovable and being loved if we had not had at least once the experience of being the opposite. And so the negative essence identities are not a problem in and of themselves. They become a problem when we label them as bad, and then we resist feeling them and experiencing them, which causes them to continue to be. So we learn, what we want to learn is that if there's something we want to change, we have to change it with wisdom and love. And we do that by giving space and giving space to these identities and allowing them to be, not by resisting or hating them, but we allow them to be. We give space to them. So that is my talk on resistance. And as I said, next week we will go into the creation of that, and then after that we will go into how we give space to these identity, these negative identity essences, and then how we can begin to actually move to the positive identities. Okay, so that was a bit intense. So let's just do a short, very, very short meditation just to kind of fill ourselves up with love. So if you can, just close your eyes and just notice your breathing. You're not required, you don't have to do anything with your breathing. Just kind of notice you are breathing. Just become aware that the breath is flowing in and out, and you're not doing anything to regulate it. It's being regulated. Well, what's regulating the breath? Just notice and begin to sense that there's a level of awareness that's always present, always there. It's regulating your breathing. So we're just going to allow ourselves to just sense this and feel this. And now just imagine that this awareness is a field, a giant field of all potentiality, a field of life, a field of love. And you're just floating right in the middle of it. You're right inside of this awareness. And now just imagine that there are golden rays of light penetrating you from all angles, from all sides, from the top of your head to your toes, all around you, the back and front, radiating towards you, filling you up. And just imagine that it's just hitting all the cells of your body, the trillions of cells, and just imagine that the membranes of these cells are porous. They're like sponges. They can take in as much light as they like. It's infinite. It's free. It's infinite. Golden liquid light of love pouring into you in all ways, from all angles, as much as you desire, as much as the cells want to take in. And just let yourself be bathed in this light. Bathed in unconditional love and support for who you are, exactly as you are in this moment. And there is nothing you need to do but just be and allow life to love you. Okay, now just bringing your awareness back to wherever you are, whether you're sitting or standing. Just allow your awareness to come back to your physical body, giving thanks for all that we've been given and this gift of unconditional love and support that really is always available to us. It just requires our awareness that it is so and our choice to let it in. So beautiful, very beautiful. Okay, well, now I'm going to move to the science of the cards portion of the class. And the science of the cards is a surprisingly simple system, and it's a system for which our common deck of cards was created. And what it is a symbolic representation of our Earth calendars. The 52 cards in the deck correspond to the 52 weeks in our year. The four suits correspond to the four seasons. The 13 cards in each suit correspond to the 13 lunar cycles in each year. And the way the system works is that every day of our year is governed by one of 52 cards. And so anybody born on a particular day will inherit the characteristics associated with that number and that suit, as well as other factors associated with that card. And these energies really represent personality archetypes, and they're symbols for our soul's expression. And so the card governing the day we were born is called our birth card. We also have one other primary card, most of us do, and that's called a planetary ruling card. And that's based on the sun sign we were born under. So when you know the meanings of these two cards, the birth card and the ruling card, you can really have a better understanding of yourself. And having an understanding of yourself is really the beginning of wisdom. You'll learn what your natural gifts and talents are, your strengths and weaknesses, or, you know, maybe it'll just validate what you've already known about yourself. And I found that, you know, what it did for me was it just really gave me permission to be that thing, to be all of these, to really embrace my gifts and my talents. And it gave me a context for my challenges and allowed me to really then kind of own them and to know, okay, so this is what I chose to come in here to work through, and I began to really just be responsible for transforming them. So now also, since the card is really helps you have an understanding of yourself and an awareness of yourself, and really being aware really is the beginning of wisdom. And in addition to that, this system also is like a book of records. There's a way in which this the cards are quadrated, is what it's called. It's kind of a mathematical, esoteric formulation in which the cards are sort of put into certain positions, and there's a way in which then for each card, there's certain cards that are laid out for each year of a person's life. And if you look at the particular cards that are laid out for that particular year of your life, you can see energies that are present. And when we learn to harmonize ourselves with the energies that are present, it's as if life is like giving us a hand. It's like instead of pushing against things, we actually begin to work in harmony with the energies that are present. And it really helps us to make decisions about our lives on a day-to-day basis. And that's why I really love this system, is because it can really help us with practical decision-making. And because, yes, as I just talked about earlier, I mean, really, we're creating all of this. And I like to think of this system as something that we're creating, at least for people who resonate with it. It's not for everyone. I resonate with it. And for those of you who may resonate with it, I really am here to really share what I know about the system and how it's really benefited me and to show people how it works so that they can have an example of it and they can decide whether or not it's something that is valuable for them. And I think that we being the creator of all this, really put things here in this created reality to kind of help us along, or as gifts to ourselves, or as guideposts. And that's what I kind of see the system as. So that's a bit about the cards. That's the basics about the card. And today is July 13th, 2010. And today is, first of all, it's a Cancer day. Someone born today would be a Two of Diamonds birth card and a Four of Clubs ruling card. And like I said, it's a Cancer. A Two of Diamonds person would have a very keen mind. They would love anything financial. Diamonds are what we value, and it represents money. And they're well equipped with business, and they like to work in partnership. Two is a partnership number. They like to make money with others and to work in partnership with others, and they make great business partners. They're not as wise in the emotional area, though. They have some things to work out in personal relationships. And due to a particular life path, something in their life path, they have a challenge of learning to love themselves and to feel good about themselves, whether they're in a relationship or not. And plus, they have a fixed set of beliefs about relationships that may have them be kind of controlling in relationships. But hidden in every Two of Diamonds is a special purpose, and not all cards have this. One other card has this, and it involves bringing people to a higher understanding of life. And so I would say for someone born on this day, if they would look within themselves, they may discover what this special meaning is. And this person would also be a Four of Clubs, so they'd have a Four of Clubs ruling card. And four deals a lot with security. They're very security and foundation-oriented. And being a Cancer as well would make them super double security-oriented, because Cancer is a very security-oriented sign. And so once they know something, though, Four of Clubs is very process-driven. They have a very organized mind, very routine and process-driven. And once they know something and they find that it works, it's difficult to persuade them to do it or see it differently. They find security in what they know. So they're very grounded, and they actually have a fortunate life path. And they have two eights, which are power cards, in their life path. And this makes them very powerful and very stubborn, and they will actually win most battles they're in. And so their biggest challenge is in relationships, because they, while they're security-oriented, they're often attracted to people who are not. And so they have to kind of work that through. But once they do, they really have a good ability to be in partnership and to be married. So that's a little bit about someone who would be born today. That this is some of the strengths and weaknesses and the challenges that they would come in with. So now I am going to open the line, and I'm going to unmute the call. And if there's anyone on the call who would like a reading, please say so. So I'm going to unmute right now. Hello, is there anyone who would like a reading? No one? I hear someone in the background there. No up for a read.
Hello, this is Arlissa. Hello?
Hello?
This is Arlissa. I wanted to give somebody else a turn, but I guess I'll talk.
Okay. All right. So how are you doing, Arlissa?
I'm doing well.
Oh, good. Okay. So what's up since we last spoke?
Well, since we last spoke, I really did take a lot of your suggestions and have been working on my intuition. And it's so funny, I thought about you yesterday when I was telling my sister, we were talking about, I guess, relationship stuff. I guess that's what rules my life now. Not really, but, you know.
It's okay. Bad, but go ahead.
Yeah, we were talking about that, and I found myself being, but I'm afraid. I was like, wait a minute. That's what Clarissa told me not to be, afraid. So, you told me when I got a chance to get the birth date, and I got the birth date, so I didn't know if you could match the two together possibly.
Sure. Okay, what's his birthday?
March 20th, 1982.
Okay. And you are again
July 5th, 1983.
Oh, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
You said 83?
83, right.
What'd you do on your birthday?
We had a really big cookout. I just moved into my new house, so people came over and we had a really good time, cooked out and ate too much.
Well, okay, I will look at your cards, but before I do, I want to go back to something you said when you said that you were really afraid, and I said not to be afraid.
Or so, not that you said not to be afraid, just to, you know, pay attention to that.
Yeah, pay attention. So because this fits into what I was talking about earlier, I want to, do you mm-hmm. mind if I use this as an example?
Please, yeah, use me.
Okay, so fear comes up, right? I'm
right.
afraid. And then, what? So that's an identity, right?
Right.
And that's one that is quote a negative one. It's you know. So then we go, oh, it's bad to be afraid, or something like that.
Right.
So we invalidate what we're feeling, what we're being. So my suggestion would be, and I'm going to talk about this in the next two classes. So instead of going to the bad about it, creating bad around it, what we want to do is to experience it as it is.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be able to experience ourselves as being afraid. Okay?
Okay.
And that's the very thing that we fight against, that we don't do.
Okay.
Because when we experience what is, then the experience will change on its own.
Okay.
It doesn't change because we're busy resisting, fighting against being afraid.
Right.
Okay?
That's
but
true.
When we can allow ourselves to, I'm afraid, and you just allow yourself to feel it,
mm-hmm.
then it will change, just like everything changes eventually. I mean, change is the only constant.
Right.
Unless we keep recreating negative experiences, and then we keep having to experience them, you know. So, and we keep creating them through resisting them, okay?
Right.
So, but if you can, like, be with that, whatever that feeling is, and get to the identity that's underneath it, you know, because there probably is an identity underneath I'm afraid, you know.
Right.
So what are you, so this is I'm afraid about the relationship?
Right, just in moving forward with the relationship. And so I think the fear came from, I know before I was working with that I am kind of like the I'm not worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, maybe this is too good. I don't know if I'm worthy.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay.
Or,
so
you know, so yeah. That's where I think the fear came from. It was like, okay, this is happening. And I'm working on, you know, the inner I'm not worthy or I'm not ready.
Okay.
Or, like, I'm not prepared, which then made me feel fearful.
Right. So I'm not worthy is good. And then I'm not prepared is there's probably just a version of I'm not capable.
Right, yeah.
You know, I'm not capable of being able to handle whatever may come up for me to handle, to navigate this.
Right.
So you've got a couple of negative identities that you know that you can work with. And so what you would do is actually experience those out, what that feels like. I am not worthy. You know, so instead of running away from that,
yeah.
It's really being able to experience that. And then once you experience it, then you can create and, you know, then you can work with energizing the positive. I am worthy, okay?
Right.
But it's like you have to first experience what's already there.
Right,
okay.
Before I can.
Yeah, you know, because a lot of creation is really a lot about discreating the ones that are already, the negative ones that are there.
Right.
And eliminating those and then transforming them and then energizing, positively energizing that which you like to experience, that which you, the creation of who you would like to be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd like to be worthy. I'd like to feel worthy. But you have to esteem yourself. It can't be esteemed outside of you.
Right.
So that's what you would be working. Okay. But anyway, so I just want to use that as an example, a practical
okay.
example of what of what I was discussing earlier.
Okay.
Okay, so you are a, I remember you were a double 10. I remember that much.
Right.
You are
double
10 of diamonds, 10 of hearts.
Heart.
Okay. And if I look up his cards, he is a March 20th, a three of diamonds. Now, he's on the cusp. So his birth card is definitely a three of diamonds, and he's either a nine of spades. Do you know if he is a whether he is a Pisces or an Aries?
He's a Pisces.
He's a Pisces? Okay. Mm-hmm. So if he's a Pisces, then his ruling card is a nine of spades, okay? Okay. All right, so let me just look at your connections here. Well, first of all, as we said, that the first thing is you have to know who this person is.
Right.
And knowing, like, what his cards are will help you. But then, the other thing is he available? That's
right.
What a lot of people miss out on. You know, is this person even available? Does this person even want to be in a relationship?
Right. Well,
is he even available?
Well, he's definitely available. It's not the guy that I was talking about before. This is actually my daughter's father.
Okay. Now, what has happened, girl? I mean, okay. So now you're okay. So what do you want to know? Do you want to know if this is like a good match for you? I'm confused as to. Last it seemed as if you were complete with your baby's father. So
I still think that's what I'm fearful. Well, not really fearful. I feel like maybe I am. I don't know. Like maybe I didn't make the right decision. We actually had the opportunity to do some talking, probably different from what we've ever talked before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had shut out all the possibility of him being who he was in that relationship. But he was like, obviously, Arlissa, you've changed, and in the time we've been apart, I've changed. I don't know whether I should believe him or any of that stuff, but I just don't. So I don't know. It would give me more insight as to how to move forward. I guess I can say it that way.
Okay. Well, your first connection is a Neptune connection.
Okay.
And so he kind of does see you, and he's receiving the energy of you. So
mm-hmm.
he does kind of see you in some ways as an ideal woman for him.
Right.
And Neptune's very romantic, but it can also idolize somebody, not see them clearly.
Right. Okay.
So, and he would be doing most of the not seeing you clearly.
Right.
Okay, and that's your very first connection, so that would be your strongest connection.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one piece of information.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sometimes you can get tired of someone idolizing you and not really seeing you clearly.
Right.
But they do, Neptune relationships do seem to last a very long time because
right.
there's a kind of romantic kind of quality to it, okay,
right.
that can kind of keep you there. So so that's a piece of information. So let's see. Your next one is you have a mutual Mars connection.
Mm-hmm.
That means that a mutual Mars connection means that you both feel it equally.
Okay.
And Mars is, you know, sexual energy, so there's passion and sexual attraction, okay, on both of your parts. And now the thing with Mars is if it's not utilized, you know, in a positive way, it could turn to anger.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, so kind of love, hate, if you you know.
Right,
okay.
Yeah.
But it's on both of your parts, so that's
yeah.
good. I mean, it's better to have, you know, a mutual one where you're both feeling the energy. But that's the
yeah.
thing, though, about the Mars energy, okay?
Okay.
So you've got, you know, this soft quality of Neptune, this idealization. You've got this Mars where you're both attracted. It creates attraction, you know,
right.
to each other. And let's see. And then you also have a mutual Venus connection. So that's very powerful. That means you both mutually love each other and you like each other and you have things in common in the, and it's in the life spread, so you have things in common in life. okay, because there's the life spread and there's the spiritual spread. And the spiritual spread, when you have a Venus connection like that, it's a past life connection, meaning you knew each other in a past life and you kind of worked things out and you were very loving. But you may not even have anything in common in this life, but your mutual one is in the life spread. So that means you would like doing things with this person and you have things in common, which would, you know, create more of a bonding kind of relationship. You know,
right.
When we're with people who like, you know, who have similar paths or who like similar things, we do things with those people. We like to spend time with those people. But
right.
That's a very wonderful connection, okay? You got some really nice connections with this guy. I can see why you're having where you're really questioning this. Yeah, like I could see why. So let me go to the next one. Let's see.
Okay.
Okay, you got another Mars connection, but you're feeling the energy of his Mars. So you are attracted to him. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You are attracted to him. And you got a Jupiter. So he gives to you. Do you experience him giving to you?
Well, now I do. He said before, I guess our pregnancy was a wonderful birthday surprise. So he said that before he felt trapped, but now he can be who he really is. And so he has really started to express more of the giving and, like, loving side of him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you mean the pregnancy was an unexpected surprise. So
exactly.
And it happened before he was really ready for it.
Right.
Okay, I see.
So now he's like, he's ready, and he's like, you know, of course, he wants to talk marriage and all of that. He's like, you know, I want you to be my wife. Why won't you accept the change that I've made? And I'm like, because I remember our years before, you know.
Mm-hmm. And what does he say to that?
He said that he understands, so he's just going to keep working until I see the change.
Okay, well, that's reasonable. Okay, well, you got some challenges. So the first connections are really the most powerful. So
mm-hmm.
You've got the Neptune, which is, you know, very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
The only drawback is the idealization, but it's on his part, really.
Mm-hmm.
But he would always see you as someone, you know, that he would want to be with. Okay.
Right.
So Neptune, you got the mutual Mars, you got the mutual Venus. These are all wonderful connections. You got a Mars, you got a Jupiter. The challenges that I see in terms of the connections
mm-hmm.
of the cards is then, what was I looking at? Oh, he is. You're actually a challenge to him. You're Pluto to him. In the life, so he does experience you as a challenge. So all that stuff he was saying before, I could see it's been a challenge for him to kind of come into himself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but when we challenge people, we actually challenge them to transform. You know,
oh.
And it's not like one of the highest connections. So, but that would be there. So I could see, you know, that you would push him. That just and you're not doing anything deliberately. Just your being in its presence would actually act as sort of like a catalyzing, would have a catalyzing effect on him.
To make him, so it wouldn't fully be a lie that he, you know, actually has created some sort of change.
Yeah, well, you do have a he has to transform, you know, to be with you because you challenge him to transform, okay?
Right.
And you actually are teachers to each other because in the spiritual spread, then the next one is a mutual Saturn connection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and Saturn is the ability to actually teach someone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mutual, so you both act as sort of teachers to each other. But in Saturn, it's much better. If you had a Saturn in a life, I would say that would be a very difficult connection.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in the spiritual spread, and it acts differently in that it actually, we don't even have to say anything to the other person. There's something about it that we learn from the other person, you know.
Yeah,
it's just,
I can understand
it's just,
that.
You can, so you've experienced. Mm-hmm. So, and it's mutual. So I think, you know, together you two will actually learn from each other, but it's good because it allows us to grow.
Right.
You know, the purpose of life is to expand, you
That's
know.
True.
So it's just that if you could just then know this and then be willing to be responsible for your own life and your own sort of challenges and be responsible for transforming them, knowing that no one's going to come to save us to do it, that it's really each of our own responsibility to become more and more of our natural selves, okay?
Right.
So it's really about you learning how to be with yourselves, all these parts of yourselves,
mm-hmm.
the parts that are afraid,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the parts that feel capable and feel powerful. It's really being able to be, you know, as comfortable as you can be with, quote, the negative energies as well as the positive energies.
Right.
Because when we're not, what we do is we resist.
And then create more. That was the story of the last year and a half of our relationship, I think.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, yeah, so it's really about you learning how to experience these, quote, negative energies. And I'm just saying negative in the sense of, like,
how
I'll just use this example. Instead of good and bad, it's negative and positive. Like if I'm in Texas and I want to go to New York City,
mm-hmm.
and if I get on the road going to California, well, that's negative in the sense that it's taking me away from my desired goal.
Right.
But it's not bad. The road is not bad.
Right.
We leave it there for the person who wants to go to California to get on it. It's
right.
It's negative in that it's going against what we're really wanting.
Right.
So, and really when we look at these negative identity realities in the same way, and we realized, oh, when they're coming up for a reason. They're coming up for us to experience them because we have created them, and whatever we create, we essentially have to end up experiencing. But
if
we don't have to experience in the sense of life out there. We just experience it within our energy field, and when we don't resist it, it becomes, so instead of this big bad monster, when we're not resisting it, we really just get to experience the flavor of it. And it might be unpleasant. Some of them might be unpleasant or might be a bit uncomfortable, but soon we begin to really be able to be with these variations of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And when we learn to be with them without judging them, thus without resisting them, then we just begin to be able to experience the different flavors. And because then we've experienced them, what we do is then we have that kind of repertoire under our belt, and then because of that, we get to really appreciate. We get to know then what is really wonderful, you know?
Right.
When something wonderful comes along, we know it.
Right.
We've experienced the opposite of it. And so when something wonderful comes, we appreciate it. We respect it. We give care to it.
Right.
We honor it. Okay? So even the negative quote has its purpose. It, without it, we wouldn't even really be able to appreciate in the manner that you know, we've been talking about. So you
right.
see, even the negative is really positive in the end.
Right. That's true.
So you have good connections with him. You do have good connections with him. So I would say it's really about you, you know, learning how to manage your own energy.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And when these come up, when these negative identities get triggered, is about you learning how to ride the wave of them, and not then expecting anyone out. And this is what we do. We think, well, you know, first of all, we think it's someone else causing it, you know.
Right.
And really, it's our internal resistance. And so when we know that we're causing it, then we know that we can actually uncause it.
Right.
And do something about it. And then we don't look outside of ourselves, people and places to do things that they can't really do. So you can be responsible for your energy.
My destiny.
And how you're feeling and what you're, you know, resisting or not resisting. Only you can really do that. Although we think, oh, if I have a great man, if he has this and he's this way and we're perfect, then he's going to somehow, that's going to do it for us. Well, no, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But you can be in charge of your identity realities and your creations, and you can be in charge of then what you actually end up experiencing in your relationships and in your relationship with life.
Right.
I'm just going on. So do you have a question about anything else?
No, no, that was perfect. You said exactly what I needed when I needed it.
Okay.
This is amazing. Yeah, thank you.
Well, hold on a second.
You always give me so much.
Oh, well, thank you for that feedback. Hold on one second. I'm going to look at something else just to make sure that something is not happening here. Let's see. Nicholas, Venus, trying to see if you had a moon connection. And no, I won't go into that. Okay, so I think that is about sums up. If I see anything else that I missed, you know, I will let you know at some point, or email you, or you can email me. But
okay.
So I think what I've said is really that's, I think, the wisest advice I could give you.
Okay.
So what you want to do is, again, manage your own energy so that you can utilize the connections that you have with this person. Because the connections aren't going to do anything. They just show you, you know, how you actually relate to this person and what's possible. Yeah. But if a person is, you know, not able to manage their energy, they won't even be able to take full advantage of the connections.
Right.
So it really is how we're actually going to show up, you know, in our being, in ourselves, and then that determines how we show up with others.
That's true. Thank you.
Okay. Well, it's just such a pleasure talking to you. You have such a wonderful spirit.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, and you know, come back anytime, and, you know, don't be shy. So I appreciate you asking your question today, okay?
Okay, so do I need to star 6?
Let's see, it's 4-star.
Oh, 4-star. Okay.
Yeah, and sometimes, just I've noticed with this system, I sometimes have to press it twice.
Okay.
The first time it'll say invalid option or something, but if you press it again, it'll happen.
Okay.
That's just for everyone else who's listening to, if you have that situation, just try it again. Okay, well, we're coming to the end. We have 1 minute left, so we're virtually to the end. And I wanted to let everyone know that I am doing cardiology readings, and you can go to my website and to see what a reading entails. And also, I also do transformational coaching. So if any of you would like to delve further into these topics that I've discussed, I work with people individually, and I have some coaching packages that are really great. So if any of you are interested in working with transformation of some of these identities, then go to my website and look at my coaching page, and I would be delighted to talk about that with any of you who might be interested in that. So we are at the top of the hour, and it's been fun. It's been a pleasure. And I appreciate having this opportunity to share myself and my gifts and talents. And I am just so thankful for life and thankful that I have you to share with. So have a wonderful day, everyone, and I will be here next week. Same time, same place. Okay. Goodbye, everyone.